This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Oklahoma Congressman Tom Cole, who represents the Sooner State's 4th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts today on the president's State of the Union message and what he believes the Republican Party can and cannot work with the president on, considering what the president laid out in his speech. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Greg, my privilege. Thank you.
A lot of people spent yesterday explaining what the president needed to say, what issues he needed to focus on. He really talked a lot about what he says his administration has already done and will continue to pursue in order to turn the economy around. How impressed were you with his outline?
Well, frankly, not very. I thought it was, as always, it's a polished speech. It's an eloquent speech. The president's stylistically pleasing, but I think substantively it was very disappointing. It was almost as if he hadn't learned anything over the last year. I didn't see any retreat on health care, which the American people have dramatically rejected. You know, we kept arguing that, gosh, we must go forward. We're so close. And what he considers, a very narrow miss, most Republicans I know would consider a narrow escape. We got right to the ledge. Thank goodness we didn't go over it. We owe a lot to the people in Massachusetts for that, and frankly, to Americans all over the country for showing up in August and since then, and insisting no. So I'm disappointed on that. No effort to reach out and start over at the beginning on health care. Disappointed, frankly, on the whole spending pattern. It's nice to hear the president talk about what's frankly really a rather symbolic freeze on domestic spending, although it's risen dramatically in the last year under his watch. But we're not starting that today. We're going to do it next year. Well, that's like talking about a diet. Diets begin today. They don't start tomorrow. We could reclaim a lot of money that has been committed but yet unspent, save a lot of ground. So I wasn't very impressed on the spending front. Finally, I have to tell you personally, I was disappointed a little bit on, number one, the amount of time spent on national security and where it fell in the speech, and number two, the failure to acknowledge what I think is the reality in places like Iraq. You can agree or disagree with the war, but this administration hasn't ended it. Frankly, they're operating under the timetable negotiated by former President Bush and the Status of Forces Agreement, and the people that have won the war is the American military and the surge, which this president opposed. I mean, we're able to leave on success. He's able to make these reductions because of the sacrifice and courage of American men and women in uniform and because of the tough leadership of George Bush, who made course corrections, made a tough call at a time when Mr. Obama and Mr. Obama's party opposed him almost to a person and made sure that we were successful in that endeavor.
You mentioned that the spending freeze was largely symbolic because it doesn't address a very large portion of the federal budget. What would be some steps, a couple of steps that the president could pursue to show that he was really serious about really rolling up the sleeves and hacking away at this deficit?
Well, I think the first thing you'd have to do is to really sit down and it's sort of like banks. You rob them because that's where the money's at. The money is his entitlement reform, and that means really tough savings and things like Medicare and Medicaid in particular, and a real Social Security plan. There's things we can do on these areas that would make an enormous difference over time. What few reforms, and he didn't talk about any of them last night, that the president has proposed in Medicare, he didn't want to save the money. He wants to then take the money and spend it on a brand new entitlement program in health care. That's a mistake. But you do things like tort reform, national markets, those type of things. You not only help on health care, you help on Medicare. Tort reform would be an enormous savings on Medicare as well as in the president's health care. So those are things we should do. Should we talk about, which we've done in the past, the Americans live a lot longer? Should we look at pushing the retirement age back a little bit for some of these government benefits? What are some of the adjustments we could make at the upper end where we're frankly a lot of Americans are getting benefits they don't need? They're tough, and they're not politically popular. They're not going to be popular with my constituents either. But those are the kinds of things we're going to have to sit down and deal with if we're actually going to restore fiscal sanity to the country.
Congressman, he's pushing a second jobs bill. What do you know about the contents?
Well, the first thing I know is it must be proved that the first jobs bill didn't work. We spent $787 billion, really $1 trillion if you figure in the interest rates that we're going to pay on health care, and the president said, do this, and the unemployment rate absolutely won't go above 8%. Well, of course, it's a 10, and if you added in the number of Americans who were underemployed, you would be looking into the teens. So, you know, I don't think doing the same thing that we did is gonna work. Most of what the president's talked about grows the government as opposed to growing the private sector. Now, some of the things he said last night, when we see in legislative reform, you're talking about real capital gains tax holidays for small businesses. You're talking about hiring credits. You're talking about incentivizing the private sector to go create wealth, and that's where wealth is created. Those are things we can find some common ground on. But again, not if you give with one hand and take away with the other. You know, at the same time we're talking about encouraging entrepreneurs to produce, we're in there talking about restoring, higher marginal income tax rates for, quote, so-called wealthy individuals, i.e. small business owners quite often, who run the risk, do the work, believe me, nobody helps them if things don't work out. So I think the president and, frankly, my friends on the other side of the aisle have a very hard time understanding entrepreneurs and small businesses. Most of them don't come from that background. Most of them have never created a business. And most of them think, gosh, somehow people that do that, that come up with the capital, come up with the idea, run the risk, ought to make just maybe a little bit more than their best employee. I'm sorry, the person, the founder, the energy, the vision in most small businesses is the person that ought to get a payoff for what is an enormous risk. Most small businesses never make it. So taxing those people at higher marginal rates is really a disincentive for them to run those risks.
Last question, sir. The president also spent some time talking about what he said was a dangerous gridlock and partisanship here in Washington. Kind of elevated himself above that fray. What's been your experience over the past year of how interested the White House is in hearing Republican ideas on the economy and healthcare in particular?
Well, minimal. Remember that one of the president's proposals last night is, gosh, you would actually sit down and meet with Republican leaders once a month. Now, we're a year into the administration. There's a great idea. I don't think there's been much Democratic interest either at the administration level, let alone the congressional leadership level, at seriously negotiating with Republicans. And as I told one of my friends yesterday, I said, the problem of the administration is they want conservative Republicans to vote for things that even conservative Democrats won't vote for. He's having a hard time. They've had 60 votes for a year in the Senate. They have an overwhelming majority in the House. And it says something that they couldn't get through cap and trade, couldn't get through health care, couldn't get through card check, haven't introduced an immigration bill. You can go on and on about the failures to complete the president's agenda when they had overwhelming majorities. And the reason is there's huge defection in the Democratic ranks. It's not just Republican opposition. And again, I certainly don't feel bad about opposing what I think is bad legislation. I don't think we have an obligation to help the president pass that. But again, he's had the margins he needed. He hasn't been able to do it because he's trying to govern from the far left in what is still a center-right country.
Congressman, we appreciate your time today, sir, very much.
Hey, thanks so much.
Oklahoma Congressman Tom Cole represents his state's 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.